Welcome to another edition of Anthony T's Horror and Wrestling Show. I'm Anthony T. In this edition, I will be going into why I think Dwayne is stealing the spotlight at this year's WrestleMania, because you're surely is having a problem with the fact that The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, is in the main event of Night 1 at WrestleMania, taking a spot away from Drew McIntyre and possibly risking injuries and ruining your main event of WrestleMania 40. You know, Cody versus Roman Reigns. By having The Rock and Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes main event Night 1 of WrestleMania, I think it's a stupid idea, because what if Cody Rhodes gets hurt seriously? What if Roman Reigns gets hurt seriously in that match? Then WWE has a major problem, because literally, they should not be wrestling on Night 1. They should not be wrestling twice. And you can throw Seth Rollins into that mix too, as he has to wrestle twice in two nights. It's just a stupid idea, because Dwayne wanted to main event WrestleMania 40. So the only way he could do that is main event Night 1. I'll give you more thoughts about that next segment. Then after that, I will go into the newest trend in indie horror: taking characters from the public domain and making your own horror film. You're seeing this with Winnie the Pooh, and now you're seeing this with Mickey Mouse, or an earlier version of Mickey Mouse. I'll go more into that later on in the podcast. But first, the news. Starting off the news is the fact the official trailer for the Crow reboot came out, finally. Now, there was a lot of controversy with this film going into this trailer release. The images of this film came out, and people were like bragging about it, not liking how everything looked. It didn't look like the original film. And yes, I was probably one of those people too that was bragging about it too. It didn't look nothing like the original film. So I really did not know what to expect with this trailer. That, and the fact that one of the original stars of The Crow and the director of The Crow have been trashing the remake of this film. That's usually not a good sign, everyone. If everyone's trashing the film and the stars from the original are trashing the film. So I really did not have a lot of expectation going into this trailer. Sure, it stars Bill Skarsgård, but after literally viewing this trailer, I have to say, maybe it was just bad marketing on Lionsgate's part when they put out the images for this film. Because usually when a film drops a trailer, the company will leak images of a film. And when they leaked images for the Crow reboot, I was not sold on this film at all. But after watching that trailer, I'm very much sold on this film. Even though I do have some reservations still on it, because to me, when I viewed this trailer, this literally felt more like an action film than a supernatural horror film. I could be wrong. I go into the theater and it'll feel like a horror film. But still, to me, it feels more like an action film. Sure, the original film was also like an action film as well, but this one feels more like in the vein of the John Wick movies in terms of action, as it seems like it's more heavy action than horror to me. But still, I'm going to give this film a chance, because it has Bill Skarsgård in it, first of all. And he's a very good actor, so I'm going to give this film a chance no matter what. And second of all, the action looked amazing in that trailer. It sold me on this film. It's very bloody. It's the type of film that I might like, quite frankly. So I will be seeing this film in theaters. I could be wrong, then. By now, this is just another bad film where yours truly thinks this was going to be a very good film, very fast-paced action, intensity throughout, has nothing like the original, but I will give this film a chance no matter what. Seriously. Sure, this film looks different. The look of the crow in this film looks way different than the original one. From what I heard, it's like a different interpretation from a different James Barr story of the crow. Because I believe that from what I heard, the crow had many different interpretations. So if that's the case, the character's gonna have different looks. And it's not a bad thing. It's just like, why are people slamming this film before this film comes out? Sure, I'm guilty of that sometimes too. But sometimes I know it's bad. Like, say, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. You could tell that movie was very bad from its trailer. But yeah, I saw it because, well, it was on a streaming service that I subscribed to. And, of course, had to see it for the podcast. And I still wish I did not see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. And I'll probably end up seeing its sequel if it ends up on a streaming platform. Because I see it for the podcast. But still, I will see The Crow no matter what for the podcast. This is a major movie, everyone. This isn't a small indie horror film, so small supernatural film. It's a major film. Of course, I'm going to see it. And I may review it on the podcast as well. So, no matter what, I will be seeing The Crow when it hits theaters June 7th. I just hope it's good. That's all I care about. I know it's going to be different, but you can't do the same thing 10 million times or remake the same movie again, like Gus Van Sant did with Psycho, for example. Literally remade the same movie shot by shot. No, I don't want to see that neither. So, I will give this film a chance in theaters. Moving on. Well, AI has reared its ugly head back on the podcast. I thought I was done talking about it. Seriously. But now it's back. Why? And it's a film I really, really want to see. Seriously. This was until I found a article on Variety when directors for a film called Late Night with the Devil, which is getting a lot of positive reviews. So it's definitely going to attract my interest if a film has positive reviews and it's just getting these great reviews. Seriously. And I will definitely check that film out. Seriously, if it has great reviews. But there was an article where the directors explained how they experimented with 3 images with the use of AI. I thought this was just over with the stupidity of AI. I thought this was just limited to mostly big budget cinema. But it isn't. Apparently. And it's now going into the independent films, too. To start this off, it started off back last year when the film premiered at South by Southwest Film Festival, where it got strong positive reviews, and it really garnered a lot of interest. And it's been a film that I've been wanting to see, as the buzz for this film has been building and building and building. Then, all of a sudden, AI reared its ugly head when a March 19th Letterboxd review was complaining about the film because of AI. And then the fact that he could not enjoy the film because there was AI in it. Because he quoted that they were using images that had the use of artificial intelligence. And this is a thing that I don't like, seriously. Now, this film was made before the whole fiasco of AI happened. Because it premiered last year at South by Southwest, and that usually takes place around March. So, literally, we were not talking about AI last year this time. Or it was not that big of a deal until everybody started going on strike and it became a big deal. Now, I'm really torn about this, seriously. I really want to see this film so bad. But then again, I have this big stance on AI. Then come to find out, Dune Part 2 used AI. And I went to see that film not knowing that. Seriously. It's like, I can't trust the movies anymore. Seriously, if they're going to use artificial intelligence or not. Seriously. This is going to stop. Literally. I do not want to see AI in my movies. But apparently, this is going to be the future of cinema. Whether I like it or not. And it's now affecting independent cinema as well. And it is not good. Seriously, I don't get it. Really, because I had high hopes for Late Night with the Devil. I was so getting ready to see this film next month when it hit Shudder. Or whenever it hit Shudder. Because this looks like a very good film. This looks like one of those films that could end up on my top 10 list. But now I am torn between Podcast Critic and my beliefs of AI. Seriously. Part of me says I have to see this movie because this is for the podcast. And if this is a very good movie like it is, I'm probably going to be talking about this film come year's end. So I have to see this film. Then there's this other side of me that despises AI in cinema. It's like I am so torn here. The fact that I've already seen one movie with AI in it this year. Dune Part 2, like I mentioned before. I know it's not horror, but that used AI, everyone. Whether it's major studio films or independent films, they're all going to use AI. What is going on here? I don't get it. Seriously. Now we got people boycotting this movie because it uses AI. Part of me wants to join the boycott. Seriously. Then part of me says, this is probably going to be the future of cinema. No matter how I like it or not, I just have to live with it. I'm just so torn right now. Because I really want to see this film so bad. I'm just so torn about it. I don't know what to do, literally, because I don't like AI, period. I don't. And I better probably get used to it, because I'm probably going to see tons more of it in the future. Because I don't think this is going away. Seriously, I don't think AI in cinema, in horror films, is going away. It's here to stay. And it's like, why am I just ranting about it? And why am I gonna stop nitpicking every film if they use AI? Because if I stop doing that, I might as well just stop doing this podcast. Seriously. Because I'll have no films to talk about. Except really low budget films. That's it. And I don't think people want to hear about low budget films. They want to also hear my thoughts on major studio films as well. So I am so torn on this issue. Literally. Knowing me, I will probably see this film. But I probably will not buy this film unless it's really, really good. Because literally, I don't like the fact that AI is being used for horror films. or any film, for example. And it's really not good to find out that one of your most anticipated films of the year is using AI. And finally, in wrestling news, WWE's WrestleMania 40 is starting to shape up. This is the list of confirmed matches and nights so far. Night 1 will be Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns and Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Yeah, Dwayne has to be in the main event. I'll go more next segment. I'm sorry, this still angers me that Dwayne's taking a spot at WrestleMania. And I haven't gotten to the rant yet. But that's supposed to be the night 1 main event. Night 2, Drew McIntyre versus Seth Rollins for the World Heavyweight Championship. And the main event of night 2 for the Undisputed WWE Universal Championship, Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes. Now, these are matches without any date. The WWE Women's Championship match, Io Sky versus Bayley. The Women's World Championship match, Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch. The Intercontinental Championship, Gunther versus Sami Zayn. The United States Championship in a triple threat match, Logan Paul versus Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens. Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso. The Undisputed WWE Tag Team Titles. Judgment Day versus DIY versus The New Day versus The Awesome Truth versus two teams that are not announced at the time of this recording, which is March 25th. And this will be a six-pack ladder match for the WWE Tag Team Titles. LA Knight versus AJ Styles. And that's it for all confirmed matches so far. WrestleMania 40 takes place April 6th and 7th at Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And with that, that's the news. As on the other side, I will be talking about Dwayne and his need to be in the main event of WrestleMania 40. Every day there's a family struggling with hospital bills to care for their sick child who is fighting an illness. There's a woman who is fighting breast cancer and is having trouble making ends meet while paying for their treatment. And there are burn victims that are going through treatments to heal their deep wounds. There is a charity in the horror community that helps these people. Scares That Care is an organization that helps families deal with the bills for their child. They help women get the treatment they need to fight breast cancer, and they help people who are dealing with severe burns get the help they need to heal. Scares That Care is a 100% volunteer organization and 501c3 nonprofit charity that is dedicated to helping these people in fighting real monsters. To find out more information or to donate to Scares That Care, you can go to www.scaresthatcare.org. Every donation helps Scares That Care fight real monsters. Welcome back. With WrestleMania season on the horizon, WWE recently had some big news that The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, has joined the board of TKO. This is like coming off of the controversy of Vince McMahon, which we're not going to go into here, but we're going to focus on Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Because ever since Dwayne came back to this company, it's been kind of a little chaotic here. Seriously. This first started off with him coming onto the TKO board, which is fine. In return, he got his gimmick. He got the license to all his catchphrases. That's fine. Got no problem there. But what I have a problem with is that Dwayne wants to insert himself in the main event at WrestleMania 40. And he almost did that. You see, back at the Royal Rumble, Cody Rhodes won the men's Royal Rumble. And the winner of the men's Royal Rumble usually main events WrestleMania. But Dwayne tried, allegedly, to make himself the main event of WrestleMania 40 fighting Roman Reigns. And that's where things started to get very complicated here. Fans did not like that at all. To the point where they were going on social media begging for Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns as the main event of WrestleMania 40. It took till Super Bowl weekend for them to finally finalize Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns. After playing this whole thing that Dwayne The Rock Johnson was going to main event WrestleMania versus Roman Reigns. Because here's the thing, there is a rumor going around that he was promised the main event of WrestleMania 40 once he became a member of the board of TKO. Now, if that was the case, why does Dwayne need to main event WrestleMania? Seriously. I know it makes business sense, but from a storytelling sense, it made no sense. Especially after the fact you had Cody Rhodes lose last year at WrestleMania. So this is now where this gets interesting, everyone. Dwayne couldn't be the nice guy, couldn't step away, and just let Cody and Roman be the main event at WrestleMania. Dwayne The Rock Johnson apparently still wanted a main event WrestleMania. So guess what happened? He's gonna get to main event night one of WrestleMania in a tag team match between Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes. Now here's the thing. I have a major, major problem with this. Actually, it's twofold. There's two reasons why it's a major, major problem. First of all, it screws Drew McIntyre. Seriously. The guy has been a great heel, and he's having a great feud with Seth Rollins. Why does he get shafted out of a main event spot? The guy literally carried this company on his back during the pandemic era. It could have been nice to have him main event night one against Seth Rollins. Instead, they have to move Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre to night two of WrestleMania for the World Heavyweight Championship because Dwayne wanted to main event a WrestleMania. And here's the second problem here. And this is a very big problem. And this is a problem all of Dwayne's ego. What if either Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins, or Roman Reigns gets hurt major to the point where they cannot compete on night two? This is WrestleMania, everybody. This is not some B-level pay-per-view. This is not SummerSlam. This is the biggest show of the year. Night two of WrestleMania is the biggest night of both nights. And by putting this tag match in the main event of night one of WrestleMania with The Rock and Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins, it really puts that main event in jeopardy because you are really praying that neither Seth Rollins, Cody Rhodes, or Roman Reigns suffers a major injury in that tag match. Because if one of those three suffers a major injury during that tag match, it's gonna throw the card completely out of whack. Seriously. Oh, for what? Dwayne The Rock Johnson's ego? The fact that he has to main event a WrestleMania? It's like every time he comes back WrestleMania season, he has to main event a WrestleMania. He can't go over and put some talent over. He has to work with the top talent. Come on, Dwayne. This isn't the 90s or early 2000s. This is 2024, Dwayne. You need to step aside. Let the Seth Rollins, the Roman Reigns, the Cody Rhodes main event this show. It's just the fact that you're inserting yourself into a main event level tag match with those three people that I just mentioned is really putting night two in jeopardy. Because if one of those people gets hurt, two of those people gets hurt seriously, it can really alter the night two card. And you don't want that. Seriously, WrestleMania is the biggest show of the year. These talents should not be working two nights in a row. Seriously. But then again, Mr. Boardroom himself, Dwayne, has to spread his big ego and relive his glory years by putting himself in a main event with the top three guys in the company. The top three guys that have title matches the next night. They should have not have done this. I don't know what's going on at TKO. Somebody at TKO should have told Dwayne no. But they couldn't. Because they're too busy trying to get PR after their last PR disaster with Vince McMahon. So you know what? Let's have The Rock main event one night of WrestleMania. And since he can't wrestle Roman Reigns, you know what? We'll have Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins, and Roman Reigns wrestle both nights at WrestleMania. That is just stupid and dangerous to night two of that card. And it also screws Drew McIntyre by stealing his place in the main event of night one at WrestleMania. Because Dwayne has an ego and he has to be the main event anytime he wants to wrestle. I am sick of these part-timers that think they are all that. I'm sorry. Dwayne, it's time to hang up the boots. You should not be main eventing WrestleMania. It does no one any good on that roster, especially your main event players that have to wrestle twice in two nights on two big shows. You're really risking their health so Dwayne can have the spotlight again. And it really pisses me off that Dwayne The Rock Johnson is main eventing WrestleMania 40 Night 1. It just does. Seriously. Because there's a danger that one of those three can get seriously hurt and screw up the card. But then again, it's Dwayne The Rock Johnson. It's not like he's done that before, where he walks into WWE whenever he wants and takes a main event spot away from someone at WrestleMania season.
Welcome to Dark Discussions, your place for the discussion of horror film, fiction, and all that's fantastic. a weekly podcast where the discussion is about the most recent horror and genre films. Intelligent talk on a genre that deserves intelligence. A conversation between co-hosts discussing not only the film, but also the connotation that the directors and screenwriters are trying to articulate. If you want more than a review, listen to Dark Discussions.
And speaking of perception, there's just one more scene I want to talk about, which is after Caleb discovers that Kyoto's a robot, Kyoto kind of peels off her skin, showing him what's underneath.
Now, wait a minute. I know where you're going with this, but tell me you weren't already thinking this 15 minutes earlier in the film. Exactly what he's thinking at that moment.
Which is he's a robot, too.
Oh, I considered the possibility.
Right, and that's what I like, is the fact that the writers were smart enough to know that this is what the audience would be thinking.
We've all seen Blade Runner.
Right. Exactly.
www.darkdiscussions.com, wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome back. Now, this is a topic I really need to get to here. Seriously. I've been literally wanting to get to this topic since the beginning of this year. But the last three episodes were best of 2023 episodes, so I haven't had time to get this topic off my chest. And this is a very serious topic, people. You know how much I hate AI. I don't know if this is worse than AI. Seriously. Because this affects the underground indie horror world. And it's called the good old public domain, everyone. You know, where you're free to use any character, you're free to remake any movie without any penalty or any major studio coming at you. Well, on January 1st, the early version of the popular Disney character Mickey Mouse came into the public domain. So, when I first read about this, I was thinking, oh no, please no. I can't wait to see what horror filmmaker will capitalize on this public domain. Sure enough, it did not take a day before there was an announcement that we are getting a Mickey Mouse horror film. As Into Frame Productions announced, the upcoming horror comedy thriller, Mickey's Mouse Trap. I was thinking to myself, why? We already have Winnie the Pooh movies coming out. I don't want to see Mickey Mouse horror films out now. Please. I don't. It's not good for independent horror. It's lazy independent filmmaking. There is no original ideas or creativity when you're taking a character from the public domain and making it into a horror character. There is none whatsoever. It's just childish. Seriously. I don't want to see horror films about it. I won't even pay to see it. Unless I'm forced to see it on a streaming service for the podcast to review at the year's end. If it requires to be on the worst list or not. I'm not going to see it. I'm not paying to see those films because I will not support those films at all. Unless it was on a streaming service that I'm currently watching. Because this is ridiculous. We got Winnie the Pooh running around. We got Mickey Mouse now running around in horror films. And to make matters more worse, people, back in late February, there was word of now a Peter Pan horror film. What is this? The film's called Peter Pan's Neverland Nightmare. It's like, I don't want to see these films. I don't. Why are you taking these Disney characters and making horror films? It's like, is this what British independent filmmaking is? Copying out of the public domain? Because this is where some of these films are coming from. Britain. Like Winnie the Pooh. Like the upcoming Mickey's Mouse Trap. I don't want to see this stuff. I don't. And it's just getting worse and worse and worse and worse. Because Bloody Disgusting recently posted an article on their website that Winnie the Pooh's team's twisted childhood universe building up to a mashup horror film. This is getting to the point of the rant here where I just want to go find Annie Lennox's Why and play that chorus, because that's how I feel when I see these public domain horror films from children's books coming to life. You know, back in the 90s, Annie Lennox released a song called Why, and the way she sings the chorus is the way I feel about these films, literally. Go to Spotify and listen to that song, and especially the chorus, because literally, that's how I feel. Why do I have to tolerate this? Why does this have to be a topic on this podcast? And to go more into detail about this twisted childhood universe that is happening courtesy of ITN Studios in Jagged Edge Productions. Now, ITN Studios is an American company. Jagged Edge Productions is a British company. This whole universe is gonna produce standalone films such as Bambi the Reckoning, Peter Pan's Neverland Nightmare, and Pinocchio Unstrung, and introduce new characters such as Sleeping Beauty, the Mad Hatter, and Rabbit from Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey. This is what I'm quoting off of a Bloody Disgusting article. All these characters will come together in Pooh-niverse Monsters Assemble in 2025, when the monsters join forces to take down the world. If that isn't the stupidest plot for a horror film ever, I don't know what is. Seriously, I don't need an Avengers-style horror film. If I wanted an Avengers-style horror film, I'd rather have Michael Myers, Pinhead, Freddy Krueger, Jason Voorhees, Chucky, Leatherface. Not this bunch of characters. I'm sorry, I do not want childhood characters running around in a horror film. Seriously. And in an Avengers-style horror film, nonetheless. Please, we do not need this type of movie. It's like, this is the worst of indie horror, everyone. In public domain indie horror, in films such as Winnie the Pooh, Mickey's Mouse Trap, Peter Pan's Nightmare Neverland, Bambi the Reckoning, are giving independent films a bad name. It's giving indie horror a bad name. It's giving underground indie horror a bad name. This is why I am pissed off every time I see one of these stupid characters from a childhood book or childhood icon being used as a villain for an indie horror film. This is not something the major studios would do, because they know that's stupid. Even for them, that is stupid. Still, this is not
the kind of horror that should not be showcased. The kind of horror that should be showcased are the horror from films like Scream Team Releasing, the films from, for better or worse, Blumhouse, Shudder, Screambox, to name a few. From directors like Eli Roth, Radio Silent, Scott Dickerson. Not this crap from filmmakers that just want to go into the public domain, take a childhood icon, use it for their own gain, because it is destroying independent horror. And we cannot let that happen as a horror fan. We need to support original horror, not this crappy independent horror that lacks any creativity and steals from the public domain. Because the more these indie filmmakers that want to take stuff from the public domain, make a quick buck, and put it out on shelves, put it out on VOD services, they're the ones that are going to destroy independent horror for everyone. And that's not good. As these filmmakers should be ashamed of themselves because they don't know what it's like to create something, but instead rely on other people's work and creations. I want original ideas, not Winnie the Pooh, not Peter Pan, not Bambi, not Sleeping Beauty, etc., etc. Because what makes independent horror so great is all these original stories, all these risk-taking that some of these filmmakers do to try and get an audience and try to go against the studio system, not try and be like the studio system or steal from the public domain for their own personal gain. Now, if you excuse me, I'm going to go listen to Annie Lennox's Why, because I still can't figure out why we need to have all these public domain characters in one film. You can follow Anthony T's Horror and Wrestling Show on these social media providers. At Anthony T's Horror Wrestling on Facebook, Instagram, and Slasher app. You can find Anthony T's Horror and Wrestling Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and other podcast providers. You can also listen to the podcast at youtube.com/@filmikmedia and docdiscussions.com. What's Anthony T watching this episode? Well, Anthony T is watching the latest film that was recently released on VOD from Breaking Glass Pictures and coming soon to Blu-ray from Darkstar Pictures. I'm talking about Chad Fern's latest film, Scalper. Now, for me, Chad Fern has been one of those indie directors that has been there for years. He's directed such good films as The Chair, Exorcism at 60,000 Feet, and H.P. Lovecraft's The Deep Ones, to name a few. His latest film is called Scalper, and that's probably one of the reasons why I was very interested in checking this film out. Plus, it kind of had a good premise. Plus, the cast list was very good as well, as it had Jake Busey, Bao Ling. So, it really grabbed my interest enough. Plus the fact that it has the OCN distribution connection to it, since it's being put out on Blu-ray through OCN distribution, as Darkstar Pictures is one of OCN's distribution labels. And if you don't know what OCN distribution is they're owned by VS. So, of course, anything VS related might get reviewed here on the podcast. And definitely was the case with this film, so I figured I'd review it here. And I have to say, I don't know what got into my mind when I decided to review this film for this podcast, because I could not tell what this film was supposed to be, because this film felt like a lot of different subgenres rolled into one. And that's one of the main reasons why I could not stand this movie at all, as this film felt like a number of things. It felt like a serial killer film. It felt like a slasher film. It felt like a grindhouse film. It felt like a supernatural film, if I haven't said that already. And if I did, I'm at the point where I'm still confused to what this film is supposed to be. Because literally, this film, I can't make any sense of what type of film this is. Seriously. And that is one of the main reasons why I really dislike this film a lot. Stick to one or two subgenres. Don't go doing 10 million different subgenres into one. That's what this film really felt like. Are they making an Italian-inspired film? I don't get it. Seriously. This comes from Chad Furin, who's done some really good films such as The Deep Ones and The Chair. And I was really surprised that this was really flat-out awful. I really thought a lot of the kill scenes in this film lacked any intensity at all. It felt very dull. It felt very uninteresting. It never grabbed my attention to the point where I'm interested in seeing this guy on screen, period. Literally. It felt like I was watching paint dry. And most of it had to do with Chad Furin's writing and directing. His directing really felt flat, because I really thought the direction here was just awful. Everything's done one note here. It felt like he directs everything in a way where it's just dull, not intense. This film literally tried to put me to sleep, seriously. And it, amidst all this confusion to what type of film this film is supposed to be, it still tried to put me to sleep. And it almost did, literally. I really couldn't wait for this film to end, quite seriously. Because if I was not reviewing this film for this podcast, this film would have been turned off. I don't understand why Chad Furin went for a grindhouse look. This film did not need to be a grindhouse type film, everyone. All the grainy looked felt very unnecessary here, as it was trying to be a grindhouse film by paying homage, but you're throwing every other element. It was like throwing the kitchen sink, as this film had that mentality of throwing every subgenre it could find. And you cannot do that. Seriously. I was not interested in the mystery. I was not interested in the characters. I was not interested in the performances in this film, as I really thought every character was underdeveloped with the exception of the main character. And they could have done something with some of these other characters, but they don't. They had a love subplot with the detectives, which made no sense. It really felt like it made no sense with what was going on in the film. Literally. I really just don't understand it. Seriously. They could have made a really good serial killer film or slasher film if they didn't have to go flig around with all these supernatural elements, this grindhouse look. It really takes away a lot from this film. And the writing was just bad. Seriously, bad. I really wish the writing was better, too. I really wish they had no love subplot with the detectives. That could have been done away with. I really wish you just focused more on the psychic, since you're literally just focusing on the psychic for the entire film, and you're only developing her character. You could just focus on that. That would have been a lot more interesting. You could focus more on the killer instead of giving this lame reason to why he did it and the lame ending that this film has. It's not this big ending where it has intensity. It has one of those endings where it just completely falls flat on its face. I really did not get this film. I don't see why this film is getting distributed the way it is. Seriously. Better independent films out there that probably could have used the distribution. Because literally this film, I don't get why it's getting distributed the way it's getting distributed. If it wasn't the fact that this film has names in it, like Jake Busey and Bai Ling from The Crow, this film would probably not get distributed at all. Because literally, this is one of those films that I really think is undistributable. Seriously, is that bad? And it's literally one of the worst films of the year, as this is one of the most confusing films that I've seen in quite a while, because I could not tell what the hell I was watching, because it mixed so many subgenres that it turns you off and makes Scalper a very bad film. 1 star. I hope you enjoyed this edition of Anthony T's Horror and Wrestling Show. Next episode, I have no idea what next episode's gonna be. It could be WrestleMania 40 review episode. I could have a guest on. It will definitely be one of those two. That I can guarantee you. Because by the time next episode comes out, it'll be WrestleMania will have happened. So, it'll be either one of those two next episode. I'll probably also work on another episode while I'm doing the WrestleMania episode as well. Who knows? I may do a double interview episode as well after the WrestleMania episode, or vice versa. So keep an eye out for that. If you want more information on this podcast, don't forget to subscribe to Facebook, Instagram, and Slasher App at Anthony T's Horror and Wrestling. Don't forget to like the podcast pages over at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora. Leave a review. Leave a 5-star rating. With that, I want to thank you for listening to this podcast. Have a good day. Support indie wrestling and support indie horror. This has been a Film Arcade Media production.